We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
How you doing? IB Nation Sports Talk up and rolling on a Monday. Hope you're having a good one. It's getting kind of nasty here in South Bend right now. The rain that was going through Chicago at the end of the Cubs game is rolling through right now. Just as we were coming back in, my satellite had been out for a good 20 minutes or so, you know, my DirecTV. So it was just coming back on when I was stepping in the room to start the show. So
the hard rain still affects the satellite, huh?
Oh, it do. It do. It absolutely do.
Man.
You fall for any April Fool's Day jokes today?
I did not. I for a split second, the local police department, I don't know if you saw this on social media, the South Bend Police Department put out that for the summer, they're going to have an alternate shoe, and it's going to be tactical Crocs. And they did like a whole video. Like, it was pretty funny, actually. I know the chief.
I have not seen that.
I need to text him. It was... they put a lot of effort into that particular April Fool's joke. It was pretty funny. But, you know, without school being on right now, there's just not a lot of interaction with other humans. So
are you spring break right now?
Are you guys breaking it up?
No. Yeah. Till when?
We were supposed to go back next Monday, so a week from today, but that's the solar eclipse day. So that's going to be an e-learning day.
Giving you that day off. Okay.
Everything extends until next Tuesday, which is kind of nice.
All right. Yeah. Very nice.
And, of course, first day off, got sick.
Got sick. It rained, but you got to watch the Cubs win. So you got something.
Got to watch the home opener. It was a good day. 5-0. I believe 4 out of the last 6 home openers have been shutouts in the Cubs' favor. So, you know, it's always good to get
very nice. Very nice. I saw Matty Westbelt with a little tweet today.
Because,
you know, everyone's kind of waiting to see what Maddie's going to do with her future.
Oh boy. She's teasing us.
She said April Fool's Day can't be the right day to announce anything.
She's probably right. Actually. That's actually a pretty good call on her part.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's pretty, I like the fact that she's got a little sense of humor about
it. Pretty well done. I thought. Yeah. So I guess maybe we'll see if April 2nd is the day to announce anything.
The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. Now, are we waiting for, because I know we're going to talk about the women's basketball team and everything. Mm-hmm. Are we waiting for multiple announcements at this point? Sonia Citron, Maddie Westbell. Well,
Sonia's got another year. She's only a junior.
She's only a junior. So, okay, yeah. Cool. But I know.
I think the two biggest ones would Kylie. Be like Maddie and Nat Marshall probably. Nat They're Marshall. Both, I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look how many games Nat was able to play as a freshman. I can't remember off the top of my head. Like,
gotcha.
I think she played that year. I'd have to go back and look because she had, you know, some injuries like in high school and stuff like that coming into school. But those are the two seniors on the roster. Anna DeWolf is done.
Right.
This was her fifth year, so she is out of eligibility. So those would be the two. Okay.
I thought there was more. I thought Kylie Watson was a senior.
There's a potential announcement there, I think, as well.
All right.
So, yeah, you're right. Forgot
about it. Got my announcements lined up. I don't, you know, I want to make sure I'm keeping an eye out because you never know when one's going to roll in.
Right. Right. Well, we do have a lot of Notre Dame women's basketball to talk about today. Unfortunately, their season came to an end with their loss to Oregon State Friday in the Sweet 16. But a loss is a loss, but this one, not just a loss, I guess, because it comes with some controversy. One of, you know, as it turns out, probably one of the three bigger women's basketball controversies from the weekend, when you throw in like the Kim Mulkey stuff, and then you had the stuff up in Portland with the distance of the 3-point line that we'll talk about in rapid fire.
What is that?
I know. And that kind of swallowed up a little bit the nose ring, but Hannah Hidalgo's nose ring, you know, maybe the most controversial piece of jewelry in NCAA tournament history, as it turned out.
So I didn't get to see the game live. And I'm at, you know, I'm at this visit with my son and we're doing whatever. And, you know, it for a parent, it's pretty boring, let's be honest. And so, you know, we're watching a practice and I've seen 1,000 college practices, right? And so, you know, I'm drifting on and off and I'm looking at my phone, right? And I see the still shot or the video, I can't remember which one it was, of the two trainers, like, operating.
Well, just to correct you, because one was a trainer and one's a doctor. So
fair enough.
Just to differentiate.
That's fine. I appreciate that.
I don't want to insult anyone.
Nope. Don't either. Believe me.
One is an athletic trainer, the head athletic trainer for women's basketball, Ann Marquez, and the other is Dr. Crystal Higginson. So
they're going to town on her face. And I had no idea. And like the caption was not helpful at all with whatever I was looking at. And, like, you can see, like, the surgical scissors and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I thought she was getting stitches on her face.
I'm watching the whole thing as well because it's like Hannah commits a foul at the end of the first quarter, right? And then the next thing you know, go through the commercial, you know, the timeout, in between quarters, all that kind of stuff. I think, like, right as the break is ending, I look over at, like, I see who's on the floor.
Right.
And then I look over at the bench and I'm like, what are they doing to Hannah's face over there?
Right. Seriously.
Because it's like, you know, because I'm like, did she hit her nose when she, it's kind of a phantom foul to begin with. You know, I know you didn't get to see, you know, the whole thing, but like, did she hit her nose and, you know, when that happened, did she get poked in the eye? Because it's all up, you know, they're up between the nose and the eye. And I can't really tell what's, and it keeps going on and on and on. And obviously I'm trying to kind of, you know, keep an eye over there when I can while the game is going on, while obviously watching the game and calling the game on the radio.
Right.
There was like all this activity. And then I did see her, like, she, like, all of a sudden she like yanks away from whatever they're doing. And she's like laying down, you know, like this jolt just went through her face. And it's like, what is going on over there?
That sounds awful, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds awful. And so I had no idea what happened is what I was getting at. I had no idea what happened. I saw she only scored 10 points and I was like, well, she got her face bashed in or something. I don't know what happened. So of course she only scored 10 points. And I find out the whole controversy behind it. And I, you know, you and I haven't had a chance to really talk about it. Cause we were planning on maybe doing a show on Saturday and, like, you know, all this other stuff.
And if they had one, we were going to, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, you know, you're so close to the team. I didn't want to like poke the bear after the loss and, you know, that whole thing. So that's letting you have your space. But this is the first time you and I have had a chance to talk about it.
We came back Friday night, by the way.
Did you really?
Got back late Friday night. And okay. I slept as much as possible Saturday.
I bet you did. So, yes. I bet you. And then we had a holiday yesterday, obviously, too. So,
right.
You know, you kind of, you know, not a whole lot of communication generally happens on Easter Sunday. So,
yeah. So the whole thing becomes an issue because officials apparently told her before the game, you know, they saw it. They told her if she covered it with one of those little pieces of like strip tape, which I've seen her do this season, cover it with that. They told her that she could, she'd keep it in. And then for whatever reason, at the end of the first quarter, there's still, you know, kind of some murkiness in terms of who exactly told her that before the game. Was it a different official, you know, that than the one who told her she had to take it out? Because then they told her at the end of the first quarter, she's got to take it out because it's a point of emphasis during the NCAA tournament, apparently.
This is the third round, right?
Right. Third game. Yeah. Gotcha. Third round. Yeah. Third round of the tournament. Now it's an emphasis.
Now it's a point of emphasis.
Like, you know, like six other officials, it was not an emphasis for them, apparently, but now it's a point of emphasis.
So, and all the other assistant officials that are there as well, because it's not just the three on the floor. There's other ones that are, you know, you got backups and you got all this other stuff, and none of them said anything until between the first and second quarter of the third round. It's ridiculous. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
USMA, apparently expert on nose rings. He says it must have been a threaded post on the nose ring. I have no idea. I have no idea what that is.
As I went back and watched the video,
I always just assumed just a stud, you know.
They were turning it.
They were working.
They were turning. I mean,
yes. But
it must have been. I don't know what to say. If I was ever thinking about getting a nose ring, I'm definitely not now. Let's just put it that way. I didn't look all that comfortable getting it taken out.
No. I mean, especially if you ever do want to take it out, I guess.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like that's the way to go. So Hidalgo sits on the bench for the first 4 minutes and 9 seconds of the second quarter while they're working on it. And, of course, that's just game time. You know, she's probably over there for close to 15 minutes by the time it's all said and done. You know, they were working on it. You know, as we said, you had an athletic trainer and a team doctor over there working on it. So here is Hidalgo's post-game explanation. This is not post-game press conference. This is in the locker room after the game.
Told me in the beginning that I was able to cover it up, and then second quarter they said you can't wear it.
Your nose ring?
Yeah.
Did that take you out of the flow at all, having to come out and get that taken care of?
I mean, yeah, I'm on a run. Score 2 buckets, and now I have to sit out 5 minutes straight dealing with the nose ring. Is kind of BS.
Kind of BS. I mean,
I don't blame her. I
disagree with that.
I mean,
that was via WNDU, by the way.
Okay.
Just for the official credit.
I got to say she handled that pretty well, especially sitting in the locker room after the loss. I mean, you already know that you lost. Season's over. I think she handled that pretty well. I don't know that I would have handled it quite that well. I would have been pretty ticked off about the whole situation personally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of different emotions going on there because the season's also just ended because of the loss. It's not like you get a mulligan, you get another try, you get to come back another day like every other game during the season. You're done. You know? So that was it. Vince, is this just the dumbest controversy ever?
I'm trying to think of ones that are worse, and not many are coming to mind, especially with the stakes that were involved. You know what I mean? Like, this is a one and done situation. If you take the best player off the court for an extended period of time when you already have a short bench for something so stupid, that if you knew that this is what you were going to do as an official, then you should have said something pregame. You know, be on the same page, whatever. To do that in the middle of the game, I have a huge problem with that. And so it's a ridiculous controversy. I just don't like the stakes that were tied to it. You know what I mean? This wasn't a game in December. You know what I mean? This is the NCAA tournament of all things. And like, this is when you decide that this is when this needs to take place. I don't know. If I'm like the head of officials or something, I have a huge problem with that. You know, again, the women's game is growing right now. It's on the upward, you know, swing.
You've got Notre Dame, one of the biggest young stars in the game.
Right, and Notre Dame is a huge
sitting
piece
out
of that.
For, what does that come to, you know, like whatever fraction.
Right.
4+ minutes. That's a long time.
I mean, and so you have one of the most dynamic players, first team All-American, you know, defensive player of the year for the ACC, all of these different things. You take her off the floor. You essentially take Notre Dame out of the tournament, which having Notre Dame in the tournament means eyeballs on your product.
I mean, to put it into perspective, she missed the first 4 minutes and 9 seconds of the second quarter. That is more time than she missed in the previous 3 games combined, going back to the ACC championship game.
There you go.
That's how, you know, especially when you're talking about a shorthanded roster and the whole thing. You know, her importance means even more. She's a first-team All-American. She's one of 5 freshmen ever, to be named first-team All-American. So that is significant.
You
have a first-team All-American sitting on your bench at a crucial time of the game, in a game you end up losing by 5 points at the end of the day.
It was for an eighth of the game. I mean, essentially. 5 minutes is an eighth. But it's an eighth of a game, basically, that you have your best player forced to be on the bench. I don't like it. I don't like it.
We'll get to some of these devil's advocates and everything else. I will say that it's good to see that this whole thing has drawn nothing but mocking of the NCAA for most of the national media outlets that I've seen, you know, over the weekend. Matt is asking, did Oregon State coaches have anything to do with this, like some are suggesting? I don't know that we were the root of it, but Here's my response to that, because I haven't heard it from a lot of places. What happened was, you know, we don't have Holly Rowe to do sideline reporting for us on the Notre Dame Radio Network.
It's true.
ESPN has. And I know that she was able to at least go behind the bench and kind of, you know, get some initial information from the parts of the broadcast I saw. There wasn't a whole lot other than she's got a nose ring. She was told to take it out. So what happened was Karen Keyes, who does the commentary with me, you know, we were basically flying blind.
Yeah.
The first half, only seeing what we're seeing. We have no idea exactly what happened. So halftime comes. I do my halftime ritual, which is go find the nearest restroom. Do that. And then I come back. So I come back, start getting my, you know, like halftime stats and all that stuff together for halftime stuff. Karen comes back, sits down and says that she was told that Oregon State, you know, someone from Oregon State had pointed it out and said something. Now,
wow.
Again, like whether or not that actually happened, I don't know. But what Hidalgo was told was obviously by an official. You know, there was nothing from the Notre Dame,
sure.
You know, either Hannah Hidalgo or Neil Ivey that, you know, said that Oregon State said anything. And the Oregon State head coach, Scott Ruick, after the game, basically said that, you know, he didn't know anything about it. And
of course he didn't.
That kind of stuff. So USA Today reporter Tracy Armour tweeted that she talked to Hidalgo after the game. Hidalgo said an official had said something before the game about the nose ring, but Hidalgo was told she could cover it up and still play, which, again, she has done before. Right.
Right.
So according to Rule 1, Section 25, Article 7 of the NCAA Women's Basketball Rulebook, head decorations, headwear, helmets, and jewelry are illegal. I'm just glad they included helmets, Vince, because, I mean,
seriously,
I had legit concern that a women's basketball team might run out of the tunnel, you know, like wearing hockey helmets or something with face masks and just get after it out there on the floor. They might come out with lacrosse helmets or something, you know, like full masks and, you know, just like, you know, who knows what's going to happen at that point when they
start
come out
wearing people.
Helmets.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's like, in what world does banning the wearing of helmets need to be included in a basketball rule? Like,
seriously,
what? That's in the rule. That's written in an NCAA rule. No helmets in a women's basketball game. What?
But here's the other thing, Sean, is if I'm reading this rule that you just read off to us, right? It says head decorations, headwear, helmets, and jewelry are illegal. By definition, aren't headbands headwear?
That's my next question.
And how people do those things.
How, like, are we defining headwear?
Skylar, like, Diggins has a line of those things.
I mean, Hidalgo wears, you know, like that
right.
headband thing, and so a lot of players wear those things out there.
That's illegal too? Like, I don't know.
Apparently, and, you know, like, there are players who wear literally like fake hair out there on the field.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Not on the field, on the court. So, like, if headwear is prohibited, then you know, shouldn't all these players be checked for extensions before they go out there on the floor, like if we're checking nose rings?
Seriously,
like, I'm being facetious, but I'm also being a little bit serious. If they're checking for nose rings, why aren't they checking for extensions if headwear is part of this rule?
Right, 100%. I mean, because, you know, as somebody said, you know, if you're playing devil's advocate, if a rule's a rule, then why are we not following all of the rules to a team?
Right. Who are they protecting with this rule? Like, legitimately, who are they protecting with this?
It's supposed to be player safety, right? So nothing gets snagged on it and ripped out of her nose. Like, that's my guess, right? I mean, that's
in theory, but this is just another victimless crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like, 100%.
Why is this a point of emphasis in the tournament when we know that she's not the only player who's been wearing a nose ring all year?
And that's my other thing. Check every single girl, woman in this tournament, and I guarantee you there's other nose rings. I guarantee it.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I'll get to more of that in a second. I will just say Joe Vasili, I think is his name. Total clown. The guy that was the official in the game. Total clown.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Give me a break, man.
That tracks.
Give me a break. But I saw someone trying to compare this to, well, if you drive over the speed limit all the time, and you know, and then you're complaining about the one time that you get, you know, stopped for speeding, and you're complaining about, like, that's the comparison. To me, it's more like not wearing a seatbelt, you know, because again, it's a victimless crime. You know, like if you're literally out there speeding, you could harm somebody else. The seatbelt, the nose ring, who are you harming?
Right.
But yourself.
That's exactly what I was thinking in my head.
And if you're wearing a nose ring, you're like, go back to the helmets. Like, if you're wearing a nose ring, maybe you need a helmet, you know, by their rationale that you're going to suffer that much because you're wearing a nose ring and you're going to get it caught up on something. But literally, what are you going to fall down like exactly on your nose? And like you said, get it caught on something? What are you going to get it caught on somebody's hair?
Right.
Like, I guess in theory you could get it caught on somebody's jersey, but it hadn't happened all year. And again, you're only harming yourself. So what, who are we protecting in this? And why is it a point of emphasis now that the NCAA tournament has rolled around? We're going to get to that in just a second. But first, here is Neil Ivey after the game with her thoughts. She was asked about this whole thing.
I didn't know what happened, so I guess it was in the point of emphasis in the Sweet 16 with jewelry, and she's had a nose ring the entire season, so just wish we'd have known beforehand, but can't control it, so we had to move on. But yeah, I mean, stoppage of play is never great when you have, when you're trying to have flow.
Okay, yep. Never great when you're trying to have
flow,
for sure. And the natural chorus of, well, ignorance for the role is no excuse for the rule. You know, you should have known. And somebody, I think it was John, if I can find it here, John in the comments earlier says, if the rules say no jewelry, it's not rocket science. Don't wear the jewelry. Well, here are a couple of comments from a couple of other head coaches. South Carolina head coach Dawn Staley said the NCAA must not have had the stamina to enforce the jewelry policy in the regular season, but has the stamina to do it now.
Wow. Okay. Boom.
Ole Miss head coach Yolette McEwen, who of course lost to Notre Dame last week, a week ago today, as a matter of fact, said, quote, my players have been playing with no nose rings all season, end quote. So is it on the head coaches and the players to know the NCAA's points of emphasis, or is it on the NCAA, if they're going to now make this a point of emphasis, don't they have some sort of obligation to tell the players and the coaches that this is now a point of emphasis? You should not go out there with any kind of jewelry, helmets, or anything else when you're on the basketball court.
So I do have something to say about this, because you and I were both head coaches, and every year, even at the high school level, you have to go to a rules meeting. Okay. Every year. And it's the same old dribble, and it's usually pretty boring, but like the last slide of the presentation always says, here are this year's rules of emphasis. This is what we have told our umpires or officials in this matter to look out for. And this is what they're going to look out for. Like, one year was, you know, the baseballs have to be a certain brand, or, you know, whatever the case may be, this is going to be a
typically
point
something
emphasis.
Different with each season.
Right.
And you know, at the start of the season, there usually are new points of emphasis.
Absolutely. And I, great. But guess what they do? They tell the coaches so that they can then relay that to the players. When I coached football, we would have a scrimmage, and we would invite refs to the scrimmage, right? And these aren't like the normal, like the big scrimmages. These are like scrimmages that you would have in the summertime or whatever. And the refs would like to be there just to practice their craft or whatever. And at the end, you'd bring both teams together. The refs would give some sort of a presentation, and they would be like, hey, these are the rules of emphasis for this season. And they would let the coaches and the players know what the rules of emphasis, you know, the points of emphasis were going to be for that upcoming fall season. So, long story short, if they decided, as Neil Ivey said, in the Sweet 16, apparently, to make this a point of emphasis, then they should tell the coaches that, hey, we know that we've let this slide all season, but starting in the Sweet 16, we're going to make this a point of emphasis. If that's the case, then, of course, the coaches are going to go to their players, and they're going to be like, hey, you know, I know this sucks, but they're going to be looking for it. So
we got to take it off.
You know what I mean? If it's a quote-unquote point of emphasis, then the officials need to let the coaches know, period.
Exactly. And like DJ was saying earlier, says, this is not going to be a popular opinion. The Hannah nose ring debacle lies with Coach Ivy. Doesn't matter if they let Hannah wear it all year. It's a rule. He is super ticked off about the second quarter it affected Hannah. Agree with sure. the second part of that. You know, again, I just.
But if the officials never let Ivy know right. that this is a new
point. And you've
point
been
of
doing
emphasis.
It all year. And it's right. such, it's not like, I mean, don't you have to like give them credit for making sure that the team wasn't wearing helmets out there? You know, like, come on.
She's doing her job.
There were no helmets. There were no helmets present.
I can guarantee you that they did not let the coaches know this is going to be a new point of emphasis. Is it a rule? Sure, it's a rule. But do you know how many rule, like you and I could scour the rule book for every sport and we could find innocuous rules that are not enforced on a regular basis.
Correct.
They're just not. And so the whole crowd that's like
a lot of times what happens though is you know run up across this pedantic little, you know, guy or gal
right.
who wants to prove that they know all the rules and so they're going to enforce every stupid little thing. I don't know if that's what happened here. You know, it does seem right. weird that you didn't hear about with all these other games going on. You had 32 teams playing this weekend. You're telling right. me nobody else had a nose ring and it didn't, you know, at some point become an issue. Like someone exactly. didn't leave it in. Someone didn't leave an earring in, you know, exactly. any of this stuff.
And the men's tournament too, for that matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I've seen plenty of guys with the little taper on the ear, you know, the whole thing, you know, so that they, whatever. But I'm sorry. If this is a point of emphasis, then you needed to let the coach know. And let's say that they did. Let's say they let Neil Ivy know. I apparently, have a hard time believing that.
Apparently, after the game, someone from the NCAA walked up to her and handed her a printed piece of paper with that rule written on it. Like the exact rule that we just talked about
cool.
that we read. Yeah.
Thanks for the after the fact.
Right. Here you go. So you're walking into your press conference. You know what the rule is.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
But with all these pre-tournament meetings, you know, you couldn't have said anything in advance. Okay.
Yeah, and again, I have a problem with that.
Why this is the emphasis is beyond
random
me.
Enforcement
because,
of rules.
Right, because Andre was saying, I think this year's NCAA Women's Tournament has too many soft fouls being called. Completely agree with that. I have just been so disappointed with the way the games have been called. Just all the way around, everything that I've seen, you know, like interest is at an all-time high in the women's game right now. But you're calling these games like you're refereeing an eighth grade, you know, middle school game someplace. And you're trying to teach, you know, it's like, oh, don't get carried away with those hand checks there.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Right.
It's been ridiculous the way some of these games have been called. Many of these games have been called. Hidalgo had an off day.
Yeah.
Obviously, she goes 4 of 17 from the field. And we talked about flow of the game and all that kind of stuff. Tied her season low with 10 points. 4 of those points came in the fourth quarter in that game. So you could see Neil Ivy talking to her a few times, you know, off to the side as well. And here's Ivy talking about what they were talking about in those conversations.
My conversations is, again, you know, just was trying to help her, you know, and she was a little frustrated with a couple of her shots that normally go in. You know, just my conversations is just empower her, you know, lift her up, positive words of encouragement, knowing that you just got to get to the next play. It's okay. You know, the game is not perfect. And so she knows that. Just trying to build confidence in her in any way that I can and just put out, try to hug her, get herself, you know, any moment, you know, she's the type of player that can take over, you know, so it was mostly just words of encouragement and positivity.
So what do you think, Vince?
I think that obviously Niel and Hannah have a very close relationship. I think that she knows what she needs to say to Hannah in order to get to her. But you know what? Everybody has an off night, and this was not her night. And you can blame it on the 4-minute stretch she got pulled out. Maybe her headspace, you know, went someplace else, and she had an off night, and that happens. And then you hope that your teammates can step up and help you out. I mean, look, at the end of the day, they lost by 5 points. They were in the game the entire way, from everything that I could tell. And so even with Hannah only scoring 10 points, they were right there. The game was there for the taking. And we're harping on this rule, and it's stupid, and all of those different things. But at the end of the day, best player on the team didn't have a great day. And I think that this is building, and Neil knows this because she's seen the big picture. She's been to the mountaintop, right? She's building up Hannah Hidalgo to be the leader on this team moving forward. She's a true freshman. This is her first NCAA tournament. It means it's her first Sweet 16 game. And all of these firsts are happening. And so she has to get her to understand, you know, soak in the moment, you know what you need to do because we're coming back. Like, we're going to be back here. Like, that's the message that I would have been giving. Like, hey, it's not your night. It's okay. But shooters got to shoot. Keep doing your thing. Keep going out there, being you, because this is what you've been all year. Go keep being you. But this is just the beginning. We're going to be back. We're going to make more noise. And right. It's going to be great. Like, that's – there's no point in being negative in that moment. No,
and I mean, that's – it seems like, you know, when you kind of hear the way she interacts – you know, there are times when she gets on Hannah.
Of course,
yeah, just like any other player. Yeah. There obviously are, but especially, you know, again, it'll happen in the course of a game as well. But like, especially in a situation like this, it's not like Hidalgo wants to be in that situation. But you could tell when she came back, like she, you know, just sort of the look she had on her face,
right, and
just just, you know, it got off. But I think that the way that Neil Ivey stays focused on these positive things and, you know, just basically tries to, you know, like get them redirected in the right headspace, you know, the right, you know, the positive headspace. You know, I think it's really important for high level athletes. And like, you look at Neil Ivey's NBA background, that year she spent with the Memphis Grizzlies, that there are a lot of things that she brought back from that. And I think, you know, that this is part of it as well, because, you know, like, an NBA season is obviously it's a lot longer than a college basketball season, but you know, you can't let one game affect the next. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be able to put it behind you and move on. Just like you've got to be able to put a bad play or a bad series of plays behind you and move on. And, you know, just dwelling with that negative stuff is not going to help anything. Right. You know, like, think about it. You know, if you're at work and your boss says something positive to you and then follows that with something negative, what's going to stick in your brain?
The negative.
It's going to be the negative.
Time. That's right.
Like, if you're going to get, you know, you're going to get the momentum going back in the right direction, got to stick with the positive. And that's kind of a general philosophy of hers, I think. And I think that it tends to work out pretty well many more times than not.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, she's a true freshman. She's got a bunch of Notre Dame basketball in her future, right? And so coming in hot negatively is not the way to go with this.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, Anthony. He says, are face masks for broken noses illegal? Aren't they headwear?
I mean,
they are technically headwear.
Good call. And,
you know, like, do you have to have, I'm going to guess that they, you know, don't make anyone give any, you know, like medical certificate as proof, but it is. It's absolutely a kind of headwear. You're absolutely right about that.
Yep.
Like in the,
again, selectively enforcing rules, man.
Right. Reagan Beers, the Oregon State player, was wearing one of them. I mean, the way the rule reads, anything that you put on your head, basically anything that you put on your head is illegal, the way the rule reads, right? Because, you know, going back to the headwear thing, like, it's a pretty loose definition of what you can. It's not even a definition. It just says headwear. And as you said, Vince, so does that make a sweatband illegal? Does that make one of these medical face masks illegal? There's a lot of room for interpretation in there.
And that's
not specifically spelled out.
Right.
Except for helmets and jewelry.
Stupid.
It is.
And you know what? And I'll say this. I bet you that rule was written for earrings, not nose rings. You know what I mean? Like it was meant for earrings, but I digress.
So even though the shots weren't falling, Hidalgo kept on playing defense out there. And Ivy had some comments on the defense that Hidalgo was playing and just kind of what that means to the team as well. If I can find it, I don't think. Oh, there it is.
All right. Well, the first part, like her defense, and like she's going to give us her all. That's what she loves, playing defense. That's her money, you know, is her intensity defensively. She feeds off of being disruptive. And, you know, her shot wasn't falling today, and I feel like she was trying to get herself going, you know, by being, a pest on defense. And she got a couple backcourt violations, which is awesome. She's never going to stop playing, you know, regardless. And so defensively, I love her intensity. And it's been contagious with our team all season long, you know. I love that part of her game.
Yeah, so Oregon State was 5 of 8 in the fourth quarter, high percentage. They only attempted 8 shots. Hidalgo forced a pair of 10-second backcourt violations. And that was, you know, that's kind of how, as, you know, Neil was, you know, alluding to there, how she sort of, you know, keeps herself in the game, is continuing to invest herself in the defensive side, even when things weren't going right. And I think that you could say that across the board for Notre Dame. Like, they kept playing defense even when the shots weren't falling. And you could probably argue that, you know, maybe even it ended up being, not intentionally, obviously, but it maybe ended up being a little bit to their detriment, just because of the fact that they were investing so much. Again, Oregon State only took 8 shots in the fourth quarter. Notre Dame took 21. The problem was Notre Dame only hit 6 of those 21 shots. And, you know, like when you look at the rebound, you know, differential, the fact that Oregon State out-rebounded them, but, you know, it's because Notre Dame unfortunately missed more shots.
Yeah,
and Oregon State had a 6'4 and a 6'3 player who were just gobbling up rebounds out there as a result, because they had the post advantage, you know.
That was
a huge advantage for them going into the game, and it played out that way.
I think I heard that Oregon State had 10 players on the roster that were 6 foot or taller. I mean, you know, again, if Notre Dame has an Achilles heel, it's going to be the post right now, especially with Kylie Watson being down, right? And it's going to be rebounding and all of that. And again, it was a 5-point game. It's not like they got absolutely dominated, okay? But that was a point of emphasis, I'm sure, for Oregon State. Hey, we got it. If we out-rebound them, we got a chance to win this game.
Yeah.
And that's what ended up happening.
So there's 6'4 post who was wearing the face mask. Reagan Beers, 18 points, 13 rebounds. And Tamia Gardner,
illegal,
3. Yeah. Illegal face mask.
Throw her out.
Tamia Gardner, 21 points and 11 boards, 24 rebounds between them. I mean, my goodness. And
yeah,
but, you know, Notre Dame had 20, they had 12 fast break points in the first half. And defense was a part of it. I felt like Notre Dame, you know, they knew that they had that the advantage was to Oregon State when it came to the post, and it was a tough task. I thought Nat Marshall battled hard all the game, you know, going up against Beers, especially when you know Beers probably had a good 50 pounds on her, and you know, like, as physical as she plays, you know, Marshall was giving it back as much as she could, and she forced a couple of turnovers in the first half that led to some of those fast break points. You know, Notre Dame did as well as they could. The unfortunate thing was They just weren't able to consistently hit shots. But, you know, most of that came in the fourth quarter, their worst shooting quarter. When, again, I just think that what they were investing at the defensive end kind of caught up with their legs a little bit at the offensive end. You know, they did settle for some jump shots. They weren't able to knock them down, unfortunately. And
right.
You end up losing to a good team by 5 points.
No doubt. And that's what sucks is, you know, they were off offensively. every offensive number that you can look at for Notre Dame was below their season average. It just did not look good offensively shooting the basketball. And it was an epidemic, unfortunately, for the entire team. Not just Hannah. I mean, they just did not shoot well. So, and which provided more rebounding opportunities, obviously, for Oregon State. So, right. Yeah, just stinks that that's the way they had to go out.
Yeah, James here in the chat is mad about the way Hidalgo, you know, like her minutes were managed. And, so, you know, again, it's like you had a short bench all right. year. And he's saying, well, maybe DeWolf and BB. Who's BB? Bransford, maybe. I don't know. KK Bransford, is that who you're referring to? I mean, like, you know, look, Hidalgo led the nation in steals. She was the ACC defensive player of the year. You needed her at both ends of the floor. Yeah. Look at all those close games that you played in that 10-game winning streak. There was like maybe, what, one gimme in that whole stretch, maybe two, you know, the Boston College game.
Yep.
I think the Wake Forest game came before that. So it's like you needed her down that stretch. And look, you got a couple, you know, you got a lot of extra time off in between the ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament. That wasn't an issue. You know, I don't think that was an issue at all. I think that she was ready for it. I think the team was ready for it. It's just, you know, the bigger issue is because of so many injuries, you didn't have some extra moves that you could go to. And the game plan would have looked a lot different for the entire season if they had all those extra players.
Right. Oh, 100%. And you could have given her a little bit more time off and things like that. The problem was the drop off from her to the next person is so great. You need her on both ends of the floor. She's your best player. She's your best player. And the postseason accolades tell you that. And so it's not easy to just take that person off the floor. The ball handler, the best defensive player you have, you know, your on-ball defender, I should say. You know, that's tough to do. You know, that's tough to do with a short bench. So hopefully next year,
yeah,
they'll be able to do that some more. But we'll see.
Tommy's saying, though, that the rules are known, follow them, or don't be surprised when you get told to leave the game. You don't know that the rules were known. Like, literally, again, Hannah Hidalgo is not the only player in the nation wearing nose rings this year. The Ole Miss coach herself said that her players were wearing nose rings and jewelry all season long. It sounds like this was not a very known rule at all. And the fact that they chose, you know, to that point, the biggest weekend of the season, Sweet 16, you know, Elite Eight, chance to get to the Final Four. That was the time that, as Don Saley said, you know, they decided they had the stamina to try to enforce it.
Right.
It's a joke. It's a joke that's when they would decide, you know, to start pushing this thing.
And like I said, there are so many rules in every sport that are selectively or not even at all enforced. There's just not. Okay. Like, for example, knee pads in NFL football. When was the last time you saw an NFL player wear a knee pad?
Right.
That wasn't a lineman.
Or hip pad.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, check that out. And I guarantee you, in the rule book, it says that you have to have knee pads, thigh pads, the whole deal. And wide receivers are basically out there wearing spandex, and that's it. So, but those rules aren't enforced. So that's just an example.
Here's Father David. If it's a rule, fine, but then enforce it start to finish. And I think that's the point. If this was really a rule that needed to be enforcing, everyone should have been informed when the season started. Here's a point of emphasis this season. Jewelry. Don't wear it during a game.
Right.
Helmets. Don't wear them during a game.
We're all going to tune in and we're all going to watch, LSU Iowa tonight, okay? I guarantee you there's people with headwear. And I would almost guarantee you there's going to be some jewelry worn too. So, I mean, not that I'm going
to
be able
to
stop
it. We're all
going to
be looking for it now, right?
I am.
Here's what gets me, though, because all this, you know, like all these extra things, like sitting as close to the court as I sit, the big thing that the last couple years has been these big, like the fake eyelashes.
Oh, yeah.
Fake eyelashes are a thing.
Yes.
Like, it seems to me like, you know, one of those stupid things falls off. It's like you're going to do yourself a lot more harm than, you know, a nose ring or whatever else, because there's a much greater chance that one of those things is going to fall off of the, over the course of the basketball.
I mean, those
game.
Things, it's like
they're not complaining about eyelashes.
Man,
I think that falls into the headwear category, doesn't it?
It's technically jewelry is the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an addition.
It's not natural, that's for sure.
Like I said, a lot of players wearing those extensions out there. I think there's a girl you'll see from UConn later tonight as well. Like, it's pretty obvious that she's got extensions on. She's got like the gold braids, you know, it's like they alternate. Like, it seems like that would fit under the definition of headwear to me. If it's not your natural hair and you're wearing it on the back of your head, that seems like headwear to me. And when it's that long, when it comes down to your waist, and you can, you know, fling your head around and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Salty wants to know which school rules points of emphasis for you. Which do you let slide? Which
point of emphasis? Hats. We let that one slide. It's technically a rule in the handbook, but we don't enforce it. So there you go. So, I mean, it happens everywhere. Now, I'm not saying the hat rule. I'm saying in general, rules, you know, I mean, you gotta pick your battles, too, at some point. The hat rule is a battle we do not pick.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.